Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilt. Grace, grace. God's grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Marvelous, infinite, matchless grace, freely bestowed on all who believe. You that are longing to see his face, will you this moment his grace receive? Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all of our sin. Isn't that amazing? God's grace. I'm always amazed at the marvelous grace that God offers to us freely, without any price. He simply offers us his grace that causes our lives to be changed. I want to thank Pastor Chris this morning for allowing me this privilege of sharing and the responsibility of sharing this morning and entrusting me to share it, God's message with God's people. I never take this responsibility lightly. I want to do as best as I can to follow God's leadership and be his spokesman. I ask for the filling of his Holy Spirit, for his presence. And I've prayed that God's people this morning will have open ears to hear that which he wants them to hear. But I've also prayed that God will stop the ears of the people for things that I say that he doesn't want me to say. A few weeks ago in our Bible study class, we were dealing with Jacob and his name change that God had given to him. And I asked the question to the class if they had ever had a name change. And all of them said no, that they hadn't. And I disagreed with them. I told them that God has given us a new name. In Ephesians 1, he says that we're saints. And John, the third chapter of 1 John, he says we are sons of God. We do have a name change. During the week, I got to thinking about that, and I next Sunday asked the class to read with me 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 17. And let me read that. I should have marked it, but I think I can find it. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, the new has come. I ask the class to read that with me. We are a new creature when we come into Christ. Now, there's a stipulation there, and we'll talk about the stipulation a little later. But it says, all who are in Christ Jesus. this is not a new name change, but it's far more radical than a name change. It's a profound, pervasive, extreme, far-reaching thing that God has done in us and for us. We have become a new creation. It's a new makeover. So I've titled the sermon, I think that's what it is in the bulletin, Spiritual Makeover. We have had a spiritual makeover. All of us have experienced being involved in some type of makeover. A few years ago, LaWanda said, I think we need to redo our kitchen. I said, we spent a couple of months looking at cabinets and flooring and fixtures and then did some measurements and deciding different things that needed to be done in the kitchen. Then we contacted and we looked at our finances too. Then we contacted a contractor and he sat down with us and we talked about the things that could be done and we wanted done. And then he proposed a cost for us and we again consulted finances. Then sign the contract. And if any of you have been involved in the kitchen makeover, you know all the hassles that are involved in that makeover. And in 6 to 8 weeks, we reclaimed our kitchen. We're well satisfied with the finished products. And a lot of people have different types of makeovers. Some people have cosmetic makeovers. Some people decide they need a complete new wardrobe, and so they go out and get an entirely new set of clothes. Or maybe ladies decide I need a new hairdo, and so you go to the beauty shop and you come out a different person because you have a complete different hairdo. This verse is different. It says, a person who is in Christ is a completely new creation. Wow! Would you like to be a new you? That's what this verse says. A new me. A new look. Well, let's take for instance. Let's suppose this morning that there's a person in this auditorium, sanctuary, that decides they would like to meet the requirements of becoming this new you, new me. And so they meet the requirements of being in Christ. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit more detail later. But they meet the requirements of being in Christ. And so this person leaves the service this morning and they go home. Will the family recognize them? They're a new me. And you look at me with strange faces. Certainly they're going to recognize them. Their face is the same. Their voice is the same. They're going to recognize them. They still have the same way of talking. If they were an extrovert, they'll still be an extrovert. If they were an introvert, they'll still be an introvert. And tomorrow when they go to work or whenever they go to school or whatever they normally do, they're going to go to the same establishment and have the same job that they had before. They will still like the same sports team that they liked before. They will still like steak and potatoes if that's what they liked before. Well then, where does the change take place? It's not physical. The Bible says that we're made up of three entities. We're body, which is the physical. We're a soul, which is the mind, emotions, and will. And we are a spirit. The Spirit is able to communicate with God where nothing else within us does. We can't communicate with God with our body, but we communicate Him with our spirit. So we are a tripart being. It's hard to differentiate between body and spirit. They really work together. We have the soul, the mind, emotions, and will. And that part that it works with the recognizing God. But they really work together. They are two distinct functions, but they really work together. So though a person is not changed physically, we are changed inwardly with our spirit and our soul. I have a new emotion. I look at the world differently than I did before I became the person that now has Christ in me. I communicate differently. My vocabulary may be the same. Well, hopefully we lost part of the vocabulary. But our vocabulary is pretty much the same, but we communicate differently because we now have a different soul and spirit within us. Well, what are the conditions? It says, if any man, and that includes, you know, man, woman, child that's here in this auditorium, if any person is in Christ, that's the key. If any person is in Christ, they become a new person. What it's really saying is if Christ is not in you, you're still of the world. You're still a person of the world. The phrase in Christ occurs in the New Testament about 70 times. It's somewhat a mystical term. In Christ. What does that mean? If each person is in Christ, somehow Christ must come into our life. I have a Bible that has 21 different translations, and each verse is translated, or the person took all of the 21 Bibles, and for each one of them that has a different translation, he puts that in the verse so that you can see what the different translations are. Most of them simply say, if any man is in Christ, but sometimes it talks differently or says differently. Let me check my notes. I think I'm getting ahead of myself. When the scripture talks about being in Christ, sometimes it talks about Christ in us, and sometimes it talks about the Holy Spirit being in us. I think I've missed something here, but I'll get to it later. Jesus talked about this in a different way, several different ways, really. In John, the 15th chapter, in the night before he was crucified, he prayed for the disciples. And in the conversation, he said that you are the branches and I'm the vine. And when the branch allows the vine to have its juice flowed into them, then that new creation becomes a fruit-bearing thing. It changes them. So as Christ flows his life into us, we find things different in us, and we begin to start finding things different in the world around us. I could go into some detail about the background of this changing experience, but let me just briefly say that this person comes to recognize that they are not doing what the God who created them wanted them to do. They're not living that type of life. And so they come to the place of understanding that Christ came and gave his life on the cross to provide forgiveness for all of the sin that is there. And then they invite Christ to come into their life. And this is the mystical part. This is where Christ comes into my life. In our church language, we say a person comes to recognize that they're a sinner. Sometimes I think that we use that type of language so much that we really forget what it means. That we are apart from God. We're separated from God because of the things that we have said and we're doing and saying, I want to be my own boss. I want to do as I please. I don't care what God wants. I don't care the type of lifestyle that he wants me to live. I want to do what I want to do. That's what it means. But then they come to that place of recognizing that Christ came and gave his life for us. The song, grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all of my sin. And then we invite him to come into our life, and all of the past sin, present sin, future sin is all forgiven. Isn't that amazing? God forgave us from the time we first sinned to the sin we're committing today and the sin we're going to commit until we die. It's all forgiven. And in the process of turning life over to Christ and asking him to take control, then he comes in and he is in us. You've become a new you. You've become a new creature. Christ talked about it differently in another place. He had a very religious man come to him one night. And he greeted them with the observation that Jesus was very different than other teachers. And Jesus skipped all the chit-chat. He often does. He skips all of that and simply says, Nicodemus, you cannot enter my kingdom except you be born again. The man, who was very astute, said, I don't understand. Now, I'm a grown man. How can I go back into my mother's womb? I want to be a part of your kingdom, but I can't go back and be born again. And Jesus then said, Nicodemus, there is the physical birth, the water. He says there's a water birth and there's a spiritual birth. I can't go back and have the water birth, physical, but there is a spiritual birth that takes place in life. And in this spiritual birth, Christ comes into our life to live. I hope you begin to see how this all fits together. This new birth, this new creation, God's grace, all of it fits together and changing us. It's all talking about the same thing. The baby born into the world physically, and then we come to that place of inviting Christ into our lives, and we enter into a new kingdom. I've talked with our class and said this probably in all the four sermons I've preached here. This new kingdom that Christ came to establish, he wants us to begin to live a different type of life in this new kingdom. Though we're in the physical world, which is Satan's kingdom, he established us into his new kingdom, the kingdom of God. I have become to start calling them kingdom people. I think that we don't use that enough. I think that we simply say, I'm a Christian, that means I'm going to heaven. That's not what it means. I shouldn't say that. It is what it means, but there's more to it. We become a new creature, and we become in Christ in a new kingdom. And he wants us to live in this new kingdom as new people. That's why we're the new creature. That's why we're a new creation, so that we can live a Christ-type kingdom of God life in Satan's world. We, in essence, are aliens that are living in Satan's world, but we're in God's kingdom. That makes us different. Now, what all happens to me in this new me, this new creature? I have become a being in Christ, new being in Christ, new creature in Christ. In 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 16, Paul says, we now have the mind of Christ. Let me ask you to absorb that for a minute. We are a new creature, a new creation, and Paul says, you now have the very mind of Christ within you. You want to say that's amazing? It is. We have the mind of Christ within us. So we have a new spirit, a new soul, and included in that is the new mind. We actually have the mind of Christ. I looked up this up in the Bible that I was talking about a while ago that has the 26 translations. Most of them simply say that we have the mind of Christ, but there's some of them that are different. Philip's translation, or paraphrase rather, says, we who are spiritual have the very thoughts of Christ. The 20th Century Bible says, we, though, have the mind of Christ. Moffat translation says, well, now, our thoughts are Christ thoughts. The Amplified says, we have the mind of Christ and do hold the thoughts, the feelings, and purpose of Christ in our heart. Well, that adds some things to this. It says that we not only are a new creature, it says we have the very mind of Christ within us. So we can begin to start acting and living in this new kingdom that is located in Satan's kingdom in this new way, the Christ-type way. We are a new creation spiritually, so we are no longer in that kingdom that's controlled by Satan. We are in this new kingdom. We have a new mind. We have a new power to live our life in this world that we're living in. That means that we think in a new way. We act in a different way. Now, the Bible talks about three different men. I talked about the Bible saying us that we're a three tripart, a soul, body, soul, and spirit. But we're also, the Bible talks about men being three different classes. One of them is the natural man. This is the man who is of the world, the man who lives in the world, the man who acts like the world acts. And then it talks about there being a carnal man. Carnal man is a Christian. He's had this new creation in his life. But this carnal man somehow has never allowed the Spirit of Christ to begin to make the changes in him that Christ wants to make. And so though he is in the new kingdom, he lives with his feet in the other kingdom, Satan's kingdom. And then there is the spiritual man. This is a man that has come to know Christ, and Christ has come into his life, and he is the new creature and the new has the new mind of Christ and has the power of Christ in his life. And this man grows spiritually, and he begins to live the kingdom of God life in this old kingdom. We are not of the old kingdom. We are in Christ. We are not members there anymore. We are aliens that live in this new kingdom. And yes, we have temptation to live the old lifestyle, but we have a new capacity. We don't have to act like the old man acted. We do not have to be carnal Christians. We can make new choices because we have the mind of Christ and we are a new creation. We can deal with people differently than people in Satan's kingdom does. This is the reason that Jesus outlined on the Sermon on the Mount the differences between the kingdom of God living in the kingdom of Satan living. The kingdom of God person lives almost oppositely to what the person in the world lives. It's the reason Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. In the Sunday school class, our Bible study class, I said one day, mentioned this verse, and I said, would any of you be willing to let me do brain surgery on you? And of course, you know, they all shook their head in disbelief that they even say that. That's not what Paul is saying, though. He's not saying I can become a brain surgeon. Well, maybe I could if I was smart enough and had the ability to do it. But it means that you can do everything that Christ asked you to do. So, on the Sermon on the Mount, he outlined the way we're to live. And I know some people say, I can't do that. Well, Paul said, I can do everything Christ asked me to do. I have the mind to do it. I have the power to do it. You can love people that you disliked, and you do dislike. You can go the second mile. You can forgive and not retaliate, like the Bible study this morning in Joseph, where he forgave his brothers. We can be that type of new person with a new mind and new power. Christ did not come to change the environment. That's what many people are trying to have today. They want the environment to be changed. That's not what Christ came to do. He came to change you and me. He came to give us a new mind and new power to live in this old environment so that we would have influences over the other people living in Satan's kingdom. And we would have the words to say, to speak to them in love. John 17, in the upper room, he prayed for the disciples and he prayed for us as well. And in that prayer, among other things, he said, Father, I do not ask that you take them out of this world, At times I hear Christians saying, oh, I wish I was out of this world. No. That's not what Christ prayed for. He prayed that we would still be in this Satan's kingdom, living a new kingdom of God life. That's what he wants us to be doing. Jesus said, I do not pray that you would take them out of this world system, but to keep them from the evil one and sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. So since we are in Christ and we've been given this new spiritual makeover, we have the mind of Christ. We have this new power that lives within us. Then the burning question, why are church people not living the kingdom of God life? That's a burning question, I think, that has to be asked. It's not a question that we like to hear, but it's a question that has to be asked. Why is not the church having a powerful influence in the world? And I think the answer basically is that we are not living the kingdom of God life. We're living much like the world. I listen to a Christian radio station sometimes, and they have an advertisement there that says these people giving reasons for they're not going to church. And they said, well, I don't want to live differently than the people of the world. That causes me to be different. No, I want to be accepted by the people of the world. But we have the mind of Christ, and we have been given the Holy Spirit to empower us to live this new spiritual life, this new creation. And I don't want to do finger pointing this morning, because I have to answer the same question for me every day. I have to determine whether I want to live in God's kingdom with His presence, in His mind, in His power, or whether I'm going to live the way the world lives. I have to answer that every day. And you do too. So why is God's people not different? I want to give you a couple of reasons that I think so many, and excuse me for saying this, but so many in the church are carnal Christians and not spiritual Christians. Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians 3:2, said, I have given you milk and not solid food. And then he gives the reason. He said, because you're carnal and you're not ready and you're not willing to accept the spiritual food that is there. You're fleshly. So though we are this amazing new person, new creature, and we have the mind of Christ and we have the power of Christ within us and His Holy Spirit, some are living with the feet in the kingdom of Satan and acting that way instead of living in the kingdom of God and allowing Him to lead us. Well, let's go back to that baby illustration that Jesus said. This baby was born into the world, and let's talk about that physical baby for a minute. How is that physical baby going to grow? Well, we know the answer to that. They need at least three different things. They need food, they need rest, and they need exercise. And then the mother and dad begin to give them the diet of milk. And then after a period of time, it gradually changes to that soft, mushy type stuff that's vegetables and some meat. And the baby grows and develops. And baby needs rest, and so they sleep a lot. But the more they mature, the less rest that they need, and the more other things that they begin to do. And they mature and grow. And then they need exercise. Mother and dad oohs and ahs when that baby turns from its back over to its stomach. Oh, look at our baby. And they ooh and ah when it does the opposite thing. And then one day the baby crawls. And then one day it pulls itself up to stand alone. And then one great day, mother and dad have their cameras and phones all ready, and that baby takes the first step. And then one day it begins to run. And what have they been doing? Well, they're exercising. They're putting the food and the rest into practice externally. A few years down the road, the baby becomes a fully mature, grown person. Well, how does this relate to us spiritually? We've talked about us being a new creation. We've talked about us having a new mind in Christ, about having a new power that lives within us. It has a tremendous amount to do, because the spiritual growth is almost identical to the physical growth. What does the spiritual man need? What causes him to grow? Now, he can't grow unless he has the first ingredient. Unless he has the food of God's word in his life, he will never grow. And it's a process. The Bible calls it sanctification. Big word simply means spiritual growth. We begin to grow spiritually, though, when we're born into this new kingdom and we're the new creature, new creation, we're this long. But God doesn't want us to be this long. God wants us to grow and become a spiritual man. Maturing process. Many are born into God's kingdom and they fail to be in that process of taking in spiritual food. And they do not take time to rest in Him. And they do not know how to exercise. Some individuals I've heard say, I have been a Christian for 20 years. The reality is that person has been a Christian living the first year of his life, spiritual life, 20 times. He's never grown beyond this, though he's been a Christian for 20 years or 40 years. God wants us to grow from this to the spiritual mature person. Well, how are we going to do that? Let me give you a quick version of Discipleship 101. There are a lot of books written about discipleship, but I want to give you a quick version of it. The first step in becoming this spiritual person that God wants you to be, that He created you to be, is to decide, I'm going to do it. That's the hardest step, really, for a person to make, saying, I am going to begin to grow in Christ. I want to be a mature Christian. I don't want to be that baby carnal Christian that Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians. I've not given you any meat because you're still babies. So, I want to walk through this process. The food for the spiritual man is the Word of God. This is the only way that a person will grow spiritually and know how to live in God's kingdom. This will take some time every day. Yeah, you may miss a day or two, but you vow to start back the next day. It cannot be done in a quick, cursive way of taking the daily bread of life and reading that paragraph in that small book and say, I'm done for today. It will never be done that way. When I was a boy growing up, the Sunday school had an envelope that they gave to everybody. And the envelope was for the offering, of course, but it had several different things to check on that. You checked that you were giving an offering. You checked to say, I have read my Sunday school lesson. I have attended worship service and the number of chapters you read during the week, a number of people you may have invited to church that week. And so each Sunday, as we were driving to church, we lived about 4 or 5 miles away. As we were driving to church, I quickly turned to the book of Psalms 117. You know what 117 is? Shortest verse, shortest chapter in the Bible. It has two verses. So I quickly read Psalm 17, and then when I got to church, I could proudly check and say, I read my Bible. A person will never grow to be a mature person just by doing that. That type of thing takes some time to grow. I hesitate to put a time limit on it. But I would venture to say a person is never going to grow spiritually unless they spend significant time in God's Word every day. And I would advise you to have a pencil and paper alongside the Bible 15 to 20 minutes, and then you read God's Word and you jot down in the paper, on the paper that you have there, of what God has told you. And God will tell you something from His Word. And so you jot that down and you say, God, help me today to put this into practice. That's the exercise. God has spoken to you about how to live in His kingdom, and then I begin to do it. I begin to practice it. It not only says there's some things to do, it says there's some things not to do. There are a lot of things that we shouldn't be involved in and doing. And so we jot that down and say, God, help me to overcome that. I've been tempted to do some of those things. Help me to overcome it. Where do you begin? Well, I suggest people begin with Matthew, John, Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, one of those, and go through it tediously. And let God speak to you in those 15 or so minutes. Jot it down. Put it in your mind. You have the mind of Christ. Put it down and let Him begin to work through you. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. How are you going to know what He commands us to do without being in His Word to see what He said we should do? So you're in the Word every day. You spend significant time and you jot down the things that He has spoken to you. And then we begin to put them into practice. The next area is rest. We're ingesting the food that will cause us to grow, that will help this new creation become what He intends for us to be. The next is rest. This is a meditation time where you talk to God and God talks to you. A time when you pray. You pray about the events of the day. You pray about the people you're going to meet. You pray for openings to share Christ with the individuals that you're around. It's a time when you praise Him. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Grace, grace, so amazing. Lord, Your mercy is amazing. You have given me this life. I don't deserve, but You've given it to me. The rest. The third area is exercise. You see, the other two are internal. You ingest the food to know what He wants us to do. We meditate and pray to Him, and He communicates with us. And then the last step is the external, where we begin to start doing what He has asked us to do. You practice in this real world, living out this new creation that is in you. And as you begin to start doing that, you're living out what God teaches you every day. You're living out what God has taught you in Bible study class. You're living out what God has taught you during the worship service. And you ask God to fill you with His presence so that you will be able to be empowered to live this new life and speak things around you. Now, that's Discipleship 101 in a nutshell. Those three steps will cause your new creation to begin to grow from this until the spiritual man that stands and is able to live out what Christ said we were to do. It'll never happen without that. But only you can decide whether you're going to do it or not. Only you can decide what type of spiritual person you will be. Whether you will be the carnal person that has their feet in the world and living like the world, or whether you have your feet in the kingdom of God and you're living out His life in this world. Some will say, "Oh, but preacher, 15 or 20 minutes. Oh, my schedule is already full. I don't have any room in my time schedule to do that." Well, I would reply very bluntly, this will show where your priorities are. Did you hear me? This will show you where your priorities are. Check to see how much time you watch TV. Check to see how much time you spend listening to the so-called news. Check your time to see how much time you spend reading romantic novels or suspense novels. What about getting up 20 minutes early? Did I hear a gasp? 20 minutes early. Oh. But it's going to show what your priority is, because you take the time to let God's Word come into your life. You absorb it. And then you begin to spill it out. And you begin to grow to become that spiritual man, woman, or child. But you have to decide. God has given you everything we need. That's what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature. all things are new. He's given us everything we need. But we have to decide what type of spiritual man we're going to become. When I preach or when I teach, I preach or teach with a purpose in mind of having lives changed. I don't want to just give out information. That's for schools. They give out information. History and chemistry and, you know, all this other stuff. But church is different. Church is where we come to let God speak to us and show us what we need to be doing. And His Word is that which tells us what we need to be doing. And so when I preach or teach, I do so with a purpose in mind of hoping lives will be changed. Now, I don't know where you are this morning as far as spiritual walk is concerned. Some of you may have never had that experience that Jesus said of being born again. You recognize that there's something different in the world, and you recognize there's a God, but you've never come to that place of saying, I want my life changed. I want to be that new creature. I want Christ to live in me. Some of you may be here this morning that are struggling with this area of spiritual growth. You are recognizing that you are that carnal Christian that Paul was talking about. You're that person with the new creation within you, but you're living with your feet in the world of Satan. Your life is not any different than the person of the world. And you've come to the place of saying, God, what I'm doing is just tradition. What I'm doing is just going to church because I've gone to church all my life. God doesn't want that. God wants you to become a spiritual person and become this new creature that lives kingdom of God life. I'm going to ask Dave to come. I'm going to stand here at the front. I don't know whether there's any decisions to be made or not, but I do preach with that in mind. And if God has laid something on your life and on your heart, I would encourage you to come and allow Christ to come in and make you this new creature. And then you begin to start allowing Him to work in your life and feed you, and you begin to put into practice that which He teaches you in your life. Dave?
Thank you, Pastor. To start, application of what Pastor Reed said, it begins with a decision. Indecision paralyzes us from moving and doing anything. This morning we invite you to make a decision. And that's for between you and God. And then let Pastor Reed know that we may encourage you, inspire you to live that life in Christ. And to become a new creation, let's sing about what Christ has done to make that possible together as we sing.
He became sin who knew no sin, that we might become His righteousness. He humbled Himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. It's love so amazing.
And He's Jesus.
Jesus Messiah.
This morning we are so grateful for the opportunity to begin again spiritually, knowing that if we don't, eternity separated from you is the result of our choice. But this morning, for those who are facing decisions to make in regards to where they stand with you in the world, of the world, even as a kingdom person, that, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would woo them to a decision that would glorify you and that would allow their new life to be exposed in their sphere of influence of those yearning for a hope, yearning for what they possess, and that is Christ himself. But Lord, for those who don't know Christ, I pray this morning that you will continue to work your truth they heard this morning in them, and that they will rediscover that you are there waiting for them when they choose. But help us make a decision to glorify you in Jesus' name. And in his name we thank you. Amen and amen. Thank you for being with us this morning.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.